What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Blockhash Exploring the Blockchain. Quick message from our sponsors, BNFT and Nitro Betting. BNFT is a groundbreaking platform that combines the unstoppable force of blockchain technology and the limitless potential of artificial intelligence to revolutionize.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Personalized learning and earning experiences. BNFT leverages AI to create immersive educational environments for collaboration and utilizes DeFi to transcend traditional e-learning experiences. You can also earn exclusive certificates and showcase your achievements with unique NFTs. You can learn more by going to bnft.solutions and their social media channels. Nitro Betting is a top Bitcoin and crypto betting site that allows you to place bets in casino games, sports books, racing, gaming, you name it. It's your money. You should be able to have fun with it too outside of traditional investing. So check out all the action at nitrobetting.eu. All links are in the description below. Enjoy the episode, guys. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Blockhash Exploring the Blockchain, episode 352. Today, we have Elizabeth Olson. She is the head of growth for the Xverse app. We have it on my phone right here. We're going to be talking about it in more detail and what makes it so unique as a Bitcoin-first wallet application. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Super happy to have you here today. How are you doing?
Hey, Brandon. What's up, everyone? Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Pleasure's mine. Before we jump in and start talking about Xverse, would love to learn a bit more about yourself as well. Anything you want to share, maybe about your background, your personal story? How did you wind up in, you know, crypto and blockchain and Web3? Everyone's got a unique story.
Yeah, I love it. I always love to share my orange pill story because I think it's a bit different than a lot of people in this space and hopefully encouraging to those who are just starting to dabble. I'm fairly new to this space. I started at Xverse about a year ago. And my background's actually in the luxury industry. So I came from, I was at Steinway & Sons for many years, piano company. Mm-hmm. And then I was at Sotheby's auction house. So if you're familiar with like the art and the luxury goods scene over there, that's actually where I started to get some more deep professional exposure, I would say, to the Web3 space. For example, during the time I was there, we launched the Sotheby's Metaverse, and also a lot of the auctions that I was working on had digital digital twins, I should say, tied to the property. And a lot of that was to track the provenance and also it was interesting. Some of the auctions, one I worked on was the U.S. Constitution, and you might be familiar with the Constitution DAO coming in and protesting actually outside the auction house. So it was, really interesting time when I entered the space as well. The market cap was about $2 trillion. It's about just over a year ago, and everything was moving really fast. There was a lot of innovation happening. I had recently gotten my MBA and thought, okay, this is a really great time to pivot into one of the most exciting spaces out there, and just wanted to get involved. And of course, Bitcoin is the luxury chain, so I had to start with Bitcoin. And I think, especially particularly at Xverse, I think a wallet is a really unique space to dabble in, because you really get to have a hand in many different aspects of the Web3 space. So as a wallet, we're the first touch point into the ecosystem. So, and we're working and integrating with many different kinds of applications and protocols. So, we're supporting multiple layers on Bitcoin. We're working with DeFi. We're working with NFT projects and and many different kinds of applications. So it's been really exciting journey so far.
That's awesome. Was there any one in particular that orange-pilled you, or was it through work, or was it through another experience? You know, what sparked that initial interest in Bitcoin and made you want to stick around this space?
Well, I think Bitcoin is the, you know, the OG crypto that everybody knows. It's a household name. And I think just anyone getting into crypto, you have to know about Bitcoin. You have to understand how the blockchain technology works. And so I think just starting there, if you don't get Bitcoin, then how are you going to get the rest of the ecosystem mm-hmm. around, you know, root ownership and decentralization? If you don't get those concepts with Bitcoin, which is what, you know, where the technology started, then you know, there's going to be a lot of disconnect in other places. So I think just starting with Bitcoin, I kind of orange pilled myself in a way. mm-hmm. And then from there, yeah, it's been really interesting to learn about all the other innovation taking off on other chains, which a lot of now is coming to Bitcoin. And I'm excited to talk to you about that today and the rest of the audience.
Yeah, this year has been very fascinating because we now have tokens being built on top of the Bitcoin blockchain. So it's been kind of interesting this spring to see what people have been able to do with ordinals and BRC20 tokens, and it opens up so many different questions and possibilities. In terms of Xverse in your guys' app, is that like a functionality, something that you guys are building in? Is it more than just a straight up Bitcoin wallet? You know, what are some of those key functionalities?
Yeah, so I think what sets Xverse apart from any other Bitcoin wallet is that we're very advanced in regards to the features that we're shipping, but pair that with super user-friendly experience. So something that's super intuitive, very intuitive design. It's a beautiful design, and it's also very accessible. We are available on Android and iOS apps, as well as a Chrome browser extension on desktop. So really easy for anybody just to simply download the app and get started in the Bitcoin ecosystem. And it's a very similar experience to what you would find on other chains like MetaMask, on Ethereum, or Phantom Wallet on Solana. We really wanted to take this similar approach and bring that to Bitcoin, because most Bitcoin wallets are more optimized for devs and people with a very highly technical background. So we wanted to make this ecosystem much more accessible to the rest of the world, and also be at the forefront of supporting these really exciting innovations, most recently ordinals.
Yeah, tell me more about ordinals and how that factors in. Like, can you hold like Pepe coin as well on the wallet, or anything else that's created on top of Bitcoin? Or like, does the user have to know how to input that into the wallet, kind of like what people have to do with like MetaMask and getting the RPC address and whatnot and plugging it in themselves? Or do you guys have that like set up as like a ready to go template? Just kind of curious like what that functionality looks like.
Yeah, it's super easy. And for those who are listening, just totally encourage you to download Xverse and like replay to this section so that you can track along. But just to say, it's super easy. Once you open up the wallet, you'll have a little section that says manage token list. And from there, you can go in and select which tokens you want to be viewed. And automatically, you'll have stacks and Bitcoin available, as well as BRC20 tokens. But what you can do in the manage token list is you can also select different SIP10 tokens. And these are tokens that are supported through the Stacks Bitcoin layer. Stacks functions kind of like an L2 on Bitcoin and like a side chain. Mm-hmm. It leverages all of the security and immutability, all the benefits that Bitcoin has to offer. Stacks takes advantage of that with a unique consensus mechanism called proof of transfer. And proof of transfer, essentially you're able to leverage that security, and then on top of that have smart contract capabilities. So now we have programming capabilities leveraged through Stack, powered by Stacks on Bitcoin.
Interesting. Yeah. What about in terms of, you know, on and off ramps? Is it just a standalone self-custody Bitcoin wallet, or do you guys have or plan to have any kind of on-ramp, off-ramp with like a stable coin or with a bank pairing at some point, or even with another application that has that. Is that another thing that's built into the app or something on your guys' plan?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that we're considering. We are already supporting USDT stablecoin. That's through Alex, and that's another Stax SIP10 token. We're you know, exploring other side chain or cross chain capabilities, for example, through DLCs and other DeFi protocols. So I think there's a lot to be explored there. And since you happen to mention on-ramps, we also do have a lot of on-ramp options too. For those who are new to the ecosystem, you can simply send your assets over from another wallet when creating an Xverse wallet, or you can purchase them directly through MoonPay. We've got Transact on there, Binance. So a lot of different options for people who are just getting started.
Very cool. This is a question I think most people will be very interested in. It's the Lightning Network. Have you guys explored or already integrated Lightning Network into the app already? Or is that also something that's in your guys' plan? I know it's very popular right now because people want to be able to transact with their Bitcoin, or at least be able to send it back and forth with very low fees. Because with things like Ordinals and BRC20, there's always a lot of questions as to whether or not it'll like raise up the prices on the Ethereum blockchain or potential fees to transfer. Is that something that you guys also have in the pipeline or that you have worked in?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's definitely one of the more exciting features that we're looking at shipping in the coming months, hopefully. It's on our roadmap. It's been on our roadmap for a little bit now. We had to pivot to support Ordinals and focus our efforts around that. But definitely finding solutions for cheap and instant Bitcoin payments is a top priority for us. We've been looking at Lightning. We've also been looking at a new protocol coming out called SBTC, which is kind of like it's also powered by the Stax network. And it's essentially a trustless two-way pegged, think of it like a Bitcoin, Bitcoin on layer two, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're hoping to enable as well. And that would be, you know, enable very, very fast transactions that are less expensive than Bitcoin. It's definitely a priority.
Got it. You mentioned Stax too. I know that that's something that you guys are using for integrating decentralized applications. I'm curious more like how you guys envision, you know, growing that and like what kind of applications you guys could potentially integrate.
Yeah, there's so many being built out there right now, and a lot of it is being pioneered by a company called Trust Machines. And Trust Machines kind of operates similar to ConsenSys on Ethereum. They're building out all these different Bitcoin applications powered by Stax. And right now, I'm really excited to see some applications coming out of the ecosystem. For example, one is Consul. It's around, it's like a social media app. It's kind of similar to Discord. So that's already live, and communities are already starting to build out there. And what's great is, you know, it's token gated. So it really helps mitigate the scammers and bad actors and bots that we come across all the time on Discord. Right. Then there's a lot of DeFi protocols being built. One of them is Zest. Zest protocol. It's a lending platform, so that would enable native Bitcoin lending. There's another one called Alex, also another DeFi protocol. So, I mean, most people, they kind of laugh when they think DeFi, Bitcoin, what? You know, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. And we're actually seeing this come about with Stax. You know, people are looking at opportunities with Ordinals and with DLCs, and there's a lot of movement. So yeah, we're excited to see the ecosystem continue to grow. And, you know, it's just a matter of trying to keep up with it all because it's just all happening so fast.
That's really cool. I remember using for a long time when the Lightning Network first came out, an application called Blue Wallet. And I don't use them anymore. I'm going to use Xverse from now on. But Blue Wallet was kind of cool. It was just a little difficult to use, but it allowed me to, through the Bitcoin Lightning Network, to connect to certain like businesses and vendors. One of them being Domino's Pizza. And you could actually pay for Domino's Pizza through the Bitcoin Lightning Network, because I think they had like some kind of partnership agreement. There was like a node set up and it'd convert to dollars on their end or whatever. But it was really cool because you could pay like through the application over the Lightning Network, and they'd order you a pizza and then it would deliver it. And then there was like all kinds of, it was so cool. And there's all kinds of like games, and you could play chess, you could bet, you could send messages to people, you could pay like this online service and it'd be like a Satoshi and it'd send a text message to somebody. Like there's all these like kind of cool little applications kind of built into it. Do you guys imagining having like an ecosystem like that at some point, where maybe through the application you could do stuff like that with potential vendors or companies or protocols that you partner with? Because I know that the decentralized route with applications has a lot of those too. And it'd be really cool to have an application. It's kind of like an all-in-one place where you could do things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think down the road, we're just going to see, you know, what is a wallet essentially? It's a, you know, for storing your secret key phrase. But beyond that, I mean, there's so many different opportunities to support, you know, mass adoption. And I think with that, we're going to want to enable these kinds of really intuitive, seamless applications with the real world. And I love that this wallet you mentioned is already supporting, you know, buying pizza, which is I'm sure an homage to the pizza Bitcoin right. Pizza Day, right? So it makes so much sense to you know, do some fun things. I get why they would want to have a partnership first and foremost with Domino's Pizza. That's fun. but yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of applications, you know, not just with restaurants, but also with ticketing. We're looking at you know, a PO app, you know, different kinds of ticketing options and proof of attendance, NFT capabilities. So I think there's a lot of interesting opportunities out there for us, and even easier ways to onboard people as well. There's some really, I'm blanking on the name of this company, but they, I'd love to, I'll have to send it to you and you can share it in the description, but they enable people to be able to sign in with the wallet using like their Google or their Facebook, but it's still all decentralized and almost like a multi-sig kind of experience there, because you're having, you know, in case you lose access to your password, there's easier ways to access it. And so it's not just lost forever. So I think there's a lot of opportunities out there to make it much more intuitive and accessible for people using similar platforms and user experiences that people are already familiar with in Web 2.
Hey guys, quick message from our sponsor, Nitro Betting. Nitro Betting takes your desire for anonymity seriously and allows you to play without the need to worry about identity checks and personal information. It's a betting site, not an investment site. You should be able to just have fun. As a top trusted Bitcoin betting site, Nitro Betting truly has got your back. Back to the episode, guys. Got it. Another question on security with the application. What are some security features that are built into it to kind of give people peace of mind with using it? I know, obviously, you know, backing up the seed phrase and doing that correctly and having proper practice with storing it, not sharing it with people is always important. But what about things like two-factor authentication or other biometrics? Have you guys explored or integrated some of those?
Right. Yes, of course. It's all encrypted and it's completely non-custodial. We're also fully audited, open sourced wallet. Unlike many of the actually quite notable wallets out there, where we are open source. So I think people are pleasantly surprised when they hear that. You know, we're very transparent about who we are, what we do, and how we protect everyone's assets. And one of the most exciting features that we shipped recently was Ledger support. So we currently have Ledger support for Ordinals and BRC20 tokens, and we are a little alpha here. We are imminently shipping Ledger support for Stacks. So soon, all the assets stored in Xverse will be have built-in support for Ledger, and that's fantastic because it's kind of marrying the top security from Ledger with Xverse's really intuitive design that everybody will be familiar with. So yeah, we're making it very easy for people to have safe place for their assets offline, as well as very convenient online accessibility.
Awesome. I've also heard about NFTs being developed on top of Ethereum on top of Bitcoin. Used to saying Ethereum, but on top of Bitcoin. Is that really a thing now? Can you now create NFTs on the Bitcoin network?
Yeah, we're orange pilling you. No more Ethereum. No, I'm just kidding. We're relatively chain agnostic here. Maxi chain agnostic. I don't know. Sometimes depends on the day, but right. So would love to dive into ordinals a bit. So ordinals are essentially NFTs directly on the Bitcoin base layer. And this is possible through a process called inscribing. So inscribing is when you're uploading data to a Satoshi, and Satoshi is the smallest monetary unit of Bitcoin. So you're paying its Satoshis. It's like a token essentially. And so here we have a unique Satoshi tracked using ordinals theory and indexers. So this combination of ordinal theory and indexers and inscriptions, here we have non-fungible tokens essentially on the Bitcoin base layer. And what's so unique about these ordinals is what we call them. What's unique about ordinals as opposed to NFTs on other chains is that they are directly on the base, directly on chain, as opposed to a lot of the ordinal NFTs on other chains, which are most of the data is stored on IPFS servers externally. So it's not actually on chain. And if these projects disappear for some reason, you could get rugged. You might not see the image of your NFT. Because they might not be paying those servers anymore. So we're essentially now seeing Bitcoin leveraged as not only a place to store your, for financial use cases, but also for data. And that's actually always been possible on Bitcoin. And in fact, the first block had arbitrary data on it, non-economic data on it. But So I think a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, is this something new? Is this a change to Bitcoin? But it's actually, no, this has always been possible, but in a very limited way. And now with the past updates, there was a Taproot update and a segregated witness data upgrade. That happened the past few years, but then somebody named Casey Rodemar came around and found this kind of loophole where actually you can upload larger amounts of data in a more accessible way to Bitcoin. So here we have ordinals. They're not going away. They're very much in line with Bitcoin capabilities. There has been a lot of pushback from these Bitcoin purists, let's call them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard about this this cultural tension that's been happening on Bitcoin, almost like the block size wars back in 2017, but right. This is not it's not a matter of some kind of crazy we're not going to have to make any kinds of crazy changes to Bitcoin, but it is it's something new that's attracted a lot of talent, a lot of creators and builders and VCs are now coming to Bitcoin and seeing Bitcoin, the Bitcoin chain, through a new lens for development and smart contract capabilities.
Yeah, Bitcoin always seems to attract its own drama within the Web3 world. do you remember back to like the Bitcoin SV days and Bitcoin Gold and Bitcoin Black? And there's like a Bitcoin spinoff for just about everything, Bitcoin Cash, and everyone was like claiming that one was the better version over Bitcoin. Obviously, that I think phase kind of fizzled out, but it feels like the same thing's kind of happening. You have true Bitcoin purists that believe that Bitcoin should be used for one singular purpose. And then you have people that are like, no, Bitcoin can do it all. It can do everything. We don't even need Ethereum or any other chain anymore. It's kind of wild how we go through those phases. I think especially when we're in the middle or coming out of a bear market, it's like everyone piles into what can you do with Bitcoin? And yeah, it's quite wild. I know you're kind of new to the space, right? And were you watching it back then in like 2017, 2018?
No, I actually wasn't. I was less familiar. I mean, I had some friends in the space, but you know, this has been me kind of playing catch up. It's actually one of my summer readings is this book called It's Out of Reach, but the block size war. So yeah, I think there's a lot of really it's been a really interesting journey on the space to see everything happen. But I think regardless of whether or not people like JPEGs on Bitcoin, I do like to find common ground, you know, as best we can with mm-hmm. people who are purists, and hopefully we can all find common ground in that. In the time of a bear market, we're seeing incredible activity and even funding and building and movement momentum being poured into the chain, and it's been great for miners. And if we want to see a billion people adopting Bitcoin, we are going to have to face these congestion issues at some point. We need to make Bitcoin programmable for it to survive, to be able to continue to incentivize the miners. So ultimately, if we want mass adoption, we need to be looking at scalability issues or solutions on, you know, with stacks, with Lightning, with rootstock, with all these different layers out there. We need to be exploring these opportunities. One thing that I really enjoyed seeing firsthand was I was at the Bitcoin conference in Miami a few months back, and there was a side conference called the Bitcoin Builders Event. And at this event, there were representatives from every single Bitcoin layer who came out there, who spoke, who were participating, who were networking. And at one point, the founder of the Stacks network said, "I was in a circle with every single leader there, and we were all talking and you know, just really excited about next steps." And it was the first time they were all there together. So it was a really momentous time for the Bitcoin culture, you know, to bring everyone together to have some consensus around you know, what's next, and to discuss, you know, innovative possibilities and in a very efficient, meaningful way. So yeah, it's good to see this cultural shift happen, and you know, less silos, still fully decentralized, but less silos and more you know, I think more sharing of ideas and momentum in the right steps.
Absolutely. One more question before we wrap up, and it's kind of a higher level question. I just kind of want to get your opinion personally, since you're, you know, working in the space and you work in particular with Bitcoin. Usually there's a division between two different camps of people that really enjoy Bitcoin. I'll try to avoid saying Bitcoin maxis, but I mean, kind of. Do you feel that Bitcoin can still fulfill its purpose of being an actual currency? Or do you feel like maybe it's treaded the ground of becoming a digital asset over the internet, something more equivalent to gold or oil or another commodity that's a store of value? Obviously, you know, Bitcoin can be used for either or. People invest in it, people use it and spend it and hold it. But what do you think, in your opinion? Do you think Bitcoin will emerge into, or do you think it'll be both or one of the either or something different?
Well, I think the goal here is to accrete a vibrant, free market. And we're still very nascent. There's still so many different applications being built and use cases to be explored. But ultimately, it's both, right? It's both a store value, but also it's an open, free internet, you know, a user-owned internet. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for people to enjoy Bitcoin as they and use Bitcoin as they want to. It's permissionless, it's free, and trying to control it is actually opposing to the ethos of Bitcoin. So and I think Bitcoin is the most resilient blockchain. So the value's there, the market cap, I don't have the exact numbers now, but it's a $600 billion market cap that's ready to be unleashed, and I believe it's around double that of Ethereum. So the value is there, the familiarity, the institutional adoption. We're on the brink of institutional adoption with the Bitcoin ETFs being filed through BlackRock, through a number of other financial institutions. So I think we're really looking at a lot of really exciting mass adoption opportunities. So it's just a matter of time. I think also it has to do with, you know, it's like a, you have to get the perfect, the stars have to align really, you know, and I think a lot of Bitcoin adoption is dependent on liquidity. There's not a lot of liquidity right now in the economy from through a macro lens, and Bitcoin is kind of this porous sponge that's going to soak it all up. So, right. You know, once we have this liquidity and people are comfortable with in a bull market scenario, I think we're going to see a lot more adoption there. And hopefully now with ordinals, with new projects and builders and funding, XFirst actually just received a $500 million fund for seed growth. So we're really excited about that. Yeah. we're excited. We're ready for this next chapter of building and of adoption. And we're ready to hit the ground running over here at XFirst. We've been building, we've been heads down. And we're ready to scale.
Yeah, I think matter of time is the key phrase. Did you see the Bitcoin ETF that was approved in Europe today, the Jacobi one?
Oh, I did not. Speaking of heads down, I did not see that, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. There was a Bitcoin spot ETF that was approved a while back to be traded in Europe, and it was just listed today. And coincidentally, right after the SEC delayed the ARK Invest spot ETF in the US. It's crazy the lack of focused education and innovation in the US around this kind of stuff, and everywhere else in the world, they're just embracing it super quickly. It's
right. It's a little crazy, and if not scary too, because you know, when you push back against innovation, what happens is that talent is going to go elsewhere. And then that talent goes elsewhere, and then the solutions are elsewhere, and the capabilities and the competition is going to be stronger elsewhere and in the hands of foreign entities. And so I think the US, you know, we're missing out if we're going to be pushing back against innovation and against what the people want. So,
Yeah. I consider myself a cautious optimist, and I'm all for proper regulation and proper guidance and, you know, setting up frameworks and environments that are very beneficial and safe for people to use. I mean, obviously 2022 was a disaster, and it's very clear that we need that stuff. Everything from BlockFi to Voyager to FTX, et cetera, you name it.
Yeah. But that's not Web3. If you think about it, like they're not really decentralized. They're Web2 custodial institutions essentially. So I don't even consider them to be crypto, like Web3 companies. They're holding crypto, but they're custodial.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true too. And at the same time, on the other flip of the coin, you know, in the US, not having any laws passed or legislation, and having regulatory agencies that are, you know, too aggressive, I think also has hurt a lot in the US, you know, some of that development. Whereas in other places, you have bills coming out, you had MiCA in Europe and Hong Kong and Singapore, you know, handing out licenses to everybody. It's a matter of time, I think, before things shake out here in the US too. And it overall, it's a very exciting time, I think, to be in the Bitcoin ecosystem, in crypto and in blockchain. And I think you guys are positioned very well for that. How can people download the XFirst app? Where can they get access to it? Is it on the App Store? Is it on Android? Can they use it online on desktop?
Yeah, we are available on iOS, on Android, on Chrome browser extension. So if you're on your computer, go to xfirst.app, you'll just hit the download button, very easy. Or if you're on your phone, you can just go to your app store and download us there. Please give us a rating. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear some feedback as well. Join our community. We're very active on Twitter mostly, or X as we now call it. And which I love that Elon rebranded Twitter to X. It's like a great way to subliminally message the world that they should download XFirst as well. But actually, it's funny. A lot of people were saying that they once the rebrand happened, they saw some, they were accidentally opening up Xverse wallet, mistakenly thinking it was Twitter X. So
we, I saw our
open rate was spiking the past week. So I was like, this is great. You know,
is your handle on formerly Twitter, now X, like at Xverse?
We're Xverse app.
Okay.
Yeah. At Xverse app. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Check us out. We're very active there. Less so active on Discord just because, you know, there's just so many scamming things happening. We were like, okay, we're gonna shift our community back to X. So that's where we are for the most part. But yeah, exploring other in-person opportunities to meet up with the community as well. We're very active at conferences. I'll be in Asia, I'll be in Korea and Singapore, and we'll be at Bitcoin Amsterdam. So yeah, definitely take to keep your eye out for our team. And we'd love to connect with you.
Absolutely. We'll be sure to put everything in the description below for the episode so people can easily find all that stuff and download the app and check it out. Elizabeth, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today and talk about Xverse and what you guys are working on and building out this awesome Bitcoin application. I'm excited. I have it downloaded. I'm going to set it up today and send some Bitcoin over and start using it. So yeah, thank you for taking the time. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And thanks for everyone for listening.
Hey guys, final message from our sponsor, Nitro Betting. Nitro Betting gives you so many options to bet, wager, and play with a deep sports book from NFL to NBA to NHL to MLB to MMA to motorsports to poker to blackjack to esports to Rocket League to Call of Duty. There's plenty of diversity and choice, whatever you guys want to do. So go to nitrobetting.eu to experience everything they have to offer and see you on the next episode, guys.